Unscripted.
Unshackled.
Uncouth.
What you're about to hear is for mature ears only.
It's Miguel Fuller.
I would show anything. I'd show my hee-hee and my hoo-hoo and my ha-ha.
Holly O'Connor.
Hey, Daddy, you want to take this to the bedroom?
And Scotty the Body.
I am officially not only the grill daddy, but I'm a hot grill daddy.
Oh, wow.
It's the Miguel and Holly Uncensored Podcast.
Only from Hot 101.5, Tampa Bay's new hip music.
What a day, what a day. Today is Friday, September 11th. That we are recording this podcast, and it's always such a hard balance in life, I feel like, on this day as an American.
Because it is.
You want to be reverent and remember, but then you don't want to just be sad and somber the entire time.
Well, I mean, that was the case for like 5 to 10 years, and then I feel like there were some steps taken to try to... you know, obviously respect what happened on this day, but right. then also move forward with life to show, to value the lives that were lost, to say, I'm living mine.
Yeah.
So it's a tough one.
It is. And we'll talk a little bit more about it here, but let me get these people on the phone, Holly. And
oh, yeah.
Do you know a little bit of background of what's
getting
on the phone?
So we're talking to Molly Longmire, who works with Camaraderie Foundation, and they have a virtual event coming up that they would like some help basically promoting. They have something called the American Patriot Gala, and it's going down September 19th. So Molly's going to give us a little insight on that.
Hello, this is Molly.
Hi, Molly. It's Miguel, Holly, and Scotty on the podcast. How are you?
I am doing well. How are you all doing?
Absolutely wonderful. Wonderful. We hear that your organization has a really cool event coming up. Can you give us some details about it?
We do. We have our American Patriot Gala, and it is on Saturday, September 19th, so just a week away. And it's actually to benefit Camaraderie Foundation. And we're a, you know, an 11-year-old nonprofit organization that we serve post 9/11 veterans and active duty military and the entire family. Mm. We provide mental and behavioral health services at no cost.
Wow.
And we serve nationwide.
That is such a great really, organization. Really and awesome. Actually poignant and also appropriate to be talking about it on September 11th.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things that I'm not sure always is the forefront of people's minds, that without 9/11, we wouldn't have, you know, these 19-year-long conflicts that have created an entire generation of veterans with mental health conditions directly related to combat.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we forget a lot is that, I mean, technically, don't we still have troops over there?
We do. Yeah, these conflicts are still going on, and it's like an incredible toll on, like I said, an entire generation. You know, just in the state of Florida, we do have I don't want to overinflate the number, but it is something over about 50,000 individuals with mental health conditions that are directly related to their service. And it's just from 9/11, and that's such a just you know, monumental event that did change our country and created a lot more. You know, social problems that we do have to address and work together to solve.
Now, can you help us understand if you were directly affected or through working with the Camaraderie Foundation, what is it like for someone who was a first responder during 9/11 or coming back from fighting overseas? Because, like, I don't have anyone close to me that has gone overseas for war. I do know that, and he's okay. I don't tell the full story, but roommate Dylan, he's from Long Island, and his mom worked in one of the towers and was there that day. And so I know that, like, today, like, he goes home because his parents live in Sarasota now, and they spend the day together, sort of just talking about it. And over the years, I said, you know, if your mom ever feels comfortable, we'd love to hear what her experience was about so we can sort of understand what she goes through every anniversary. And she still, 19 years later, she's like, I don't feel comfortable. Like, I'm not there yet. And so, you know, as a person who wasn't there, who wasn't a first responder, can you help us sort of understand, like, mentally what they go through or what they've been going through?
Now, for the first responder piece, I can't necessarily speak to. It's not part of our mission, and I don't have that experience in knowing that mentality. I just know that it's something that singular event did change anyone who was there and did have lasting impacts. But I can speak to our veterans, and I can speak to our active military and anyone who is coming back that does have PTSD or a traumatic brain injury. It is a daily struggle, and it's subtle. It's not necessarily the dramatic thing that you see sometimes in movies of someone that can't, get through their day, that can't hold a job. It's something a lot of times a lot more destructive, where just this low level anxiety, depression, it's the inability to have like a relationship that then can continue on in a healthy way because of things that they're fighting against endlessly. Our executive director, Neftali Rodriguez, always likes to say, like, if you ask a soldier when the last time they were over, they say last night. It's something that is always in their mind.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not like you flip a switch and turn it off. No. That's not how your brain works. So,
exactly. And that's why counseling, what we provide, and we pay mental health providers directly, so there's no cost to our clients. We don't go through insurance. We don't go through any kind of other red tape. We handle it directly. We pay the provider, and we make sure that people get individual counseling. We offer marriage counseling, family therapy, pediatric counseling for children, and we do take care of non-blood related caregivers. So anybody that is affected, and part of that family unit can receive services from Camaraderie Foundation.
If someone is listening and they know someone in their life that's struggling and
benefit from that,
exactly, how do they get in contact with the foundation to be able to ask for help?
I am so glad you asked that. So they can call us directly. Our number is 407-841-0071. And they can go on our website and you can fill out the client application on the website, and it's camaraderiefoundation.org. And that's a long, CamaraderieFoundation.org.
Yeah, I mean, you can Google it, too.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's okay.
Listen, if you're a bad speller like I am, I just always put it in the Google and then hope that Google can somewhat understand what I'm trying to type out.
Yeah.
You can just Google that. Well, Molly,
wait, we got to talk about the event coming up.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah, but please.
Yes, next week. That's right.
So the way to support us is to participate. We are, like so many other nonprofits, we are hosting a virtual gala, which we haven't done before. But it's the American Patriot Gala. It's on our Facebook page. It's on our website. If people purchase, it's a $50 virtual ticket, and that gets you the link to the event, the link to the silent auction, and also your name in the program, and a Camaraderie Foundation mask. But now, if you get your ticket between now and September 17th, you will be entered to win a stay at Two Mermaids Resort. It's a two-night stay, 3 days, beautiful place, Treasure Island.
Awesome.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah. All right, so get your tickets now.
$50, yeah. Go get your tickets on our website, on our Facebook page. So, yeah.
Well, Molly, thank you for all that you do. We really appreciate it. And give out website one more time.
It's camaraderiefoundation.org.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Molly. We appreciate it.
Thank you, too. I really appreciate it.
You have
a great
week.
Rest of your day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's really interesting. I've been watching CNN did these two documentaries on Labor Day that they debuted, and it was like a 2-hour documentary, one on Joe Biden's life and one on Donald Trump's life. And we spent, Abe and I, the past couple days watching the Joe Biden one and actually learned a lot about his past that we didn't know. And then we're actually going to watch the Donald Trump one next week.
So is there documentaries like on demand that you can watch? Or they were live that you taped?
Yeah, we DVR'd it.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure everything is on demand now.
True.
So I'm sure that if you go on like CNN on demand, if you have cable or if you have the app, I'm sure they have it on there.
Cool.
But it's a good... I'm sure either side for both documentaries will say it was a little biased, but like, they didn't hold back. I mean, they showed some of Joe Biden's weaker sides and, how he sort of, some will say flip-flop, some will say evolved on several issues and some missteps he's made in his career. But one of the things that they focused on that brought me back was when we did go to war after September 11th. And
I remember that well.
Yeah, I remember turning on the TV, watching George W. Bush address the nation. And I was at my friend Ryan's house. And I remember us all watching. And, you know, we were all 16, 17 at the time. And we were like, what does this mean?
Right.
Like, because we didn't know war, you know, like during the Desert Storm. Yeah. During the Desert Storm area, you know, we were all five or six.
I was a kid. Like, yeah. I only remember seeing something about Saddam Hussein on the I think it was Bill Clinton at the time. Right.
I think
I'm grasping it fast.
Actually, it may be Daddy Bush. Maybe George Bush.
George H.W.
Because because Clinton didn't come until 92.
OK, so whatever it was, I remember seeing like a Reader's Digest piece. And that's only because we had Reader's Digest in the bathroom.
Oh my God.
So that was my only grasp. And I remember when I was like maybe 8 or 9, like my mom would have on the news, and during the news they would show like bombings. And all I remember would be, it would be like something like in the Middle East and the sky would like light up. That's the only thing that I had in my mind of what war meant.
So I just Googled it, and President George H.W. Bush meets with troops in Saudi Arabia on Thanksgiving during the Gulf War, 1990. So
the Gulf War.
Yeah.
I remember images and like photos, but I knew nothing else about it. I was like in fourth grade.
Yeah. And so, but it was over pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And so then like we didn't know war. I mean, because the 90s, it was prosperous. Everyone was making money. It was great.
Wow.
And then literally everything changed on September 11th. 2001. So you, Scott, you were born what year?
I was born in 96.
96.
So you were literally just a little kid.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you've only known us to be at war.
Like, that's what I'm thinking right now. Like, my entire life, like, all I know is that that's just the norm. Like, it's just we're in war, which is just, to me, to even think that there was times where we weren't, that kind of blows my mind a little bit.
Oh, my gosh.
It kind of blows my mind.
Literally, all I remember is we've been in war.
That
right.
You don't know a time when it was, like, good.
Yeah.
Like, in the 90s, nothing really crazy happened. Like, the Clinton scandal. But that was more, like, honestly, even at the time, it was more, like, funny than anything.
Yeah, I mean, like, that biggest scandal to rock the nation during that, when we were not at war, was the president getting a BJ in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
Like, that was the big thing.
And they just, like, did it on Saturday Night Live.
Right, right.
I don't remember anything other than Saturday Night Live about it.
I
was in high school.
Well, I do remember, because that's when I was, like, starting to be interested in the news.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandma got Time magazine. And so I remember, like, reading, not understanding a whole lot about how the government worked and all that stuff, but just trying to, like, wrap my young brain around it.
Yeah.
And I just remember hearing the word impeachment. And that was the first time that I'd ever knew that that's the president could lose their
job. It sounded delightful to me. I'm like, peaches are good, so I don't really know what this means. And it was like such an era of carefree living, because I was like, they're the lead. They'll take care of it.
Right.
Like, we're being taken care of. We're America. Like, they'll handle it.
Right. I mean, and even on the show this morning, we talked about it that, you know, I remember when we lived in Denver, and I would go to Atlanta for the summers back then, and my mom would, like, walk me right up to the gate, you know, as I was walking on to the plane, and she'd be there, and you'd wave from the plane, and she'd be right there at the window. Or you would get to the airport, my grandma would be right there waiting for me.
As soon as you got off.
You know, whereas, like, now, you can't get close, but you don't know anything different than what we have now, Scott.
No, literally all I know is that when you get dropped off the airport, like, that's it. If you're not getting on the plane with somebody, you better just say bye before you get out of the car and then just go, because then the security is going to take like an hour. You got to wait in line, all these things. That's all I remember. I don't remember anything prior to that.
And I do remember when George W. Bush, because we were at, that was the next year. Wasn't it the next year when he made the announcement? Miguel, do you know?
I think it was in 2002 or three.
I'm saying, because I was in the dorms when 9/11 happened. Mm-hmm. But I remember distinctly being in the living room of the 616. That's where I used to live when I was a junior and senior, in a house off campus. And I remember being in the living room of the 616. And we had the TV on. And I remember watching George W. Bush talk about, if you're not with us, you're against us. And at the time, we were like, yeah! And I don't know, we sort of expected there to be, like, footage of at like a movie, like because 9/11 had seemed like a movie.
Right.
And it was so surreal. And so we sort of expected to see, like, I don't know, boots on the ground. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was sort of, in my mind, it was sort of anticlimactic because I didn't understand it.
Right.
I was like, and he made the announcement and then it was over and we were like.
Nothing else happened after that.
We were like, well, now what?
Right.
Do we do something?
Like, I thought, so I just looked it up. March 20th, 2003.
Okay.
That's when the Iraq War began.
And that makes sense because that would have been my junior year of college in that house.
And I remember being at my friend Ryan's house on that date because we were close to graduating high school. And I remember we were all sitting around the dinner table and his parents, I think we just had the news on in the background. They were like, oh my God, the president is addressing the nation. And I remember afterwards, it felt like the... what do you call them? The purge
sirens
were going to go on when it was like, are they going to bomb overhead?
Like, we literally were like, what now? And we were like on the edge of our seats in that living room and then nothing happened.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, something obviously happened, but to like, I think to the average, like middle America type, like just citizen, that was it.
Well, I will say the difference was because I remember and I'm trying to reach my memories. Actually, side tangent, just watched this super fascinating documentary. I've really come to love falling asleep to, they have this series on Netflix called Explained. Mm. And it's like the female orgasm or memory.
What?
Or how we dress or athletic wear.
Okay.
And these are like short 20, 23 minute.
Oh, that's great.
And so like usually I'll watch like one and then it'll go into the next one. And then usually in 3 minutes I fall asleep. And so then the next day I'll start with that one, watch it, and then and lead to the next one. But they were just talking about memory and how we remember stuff and what parts of the brain it comes from.
It's very complex.
And how it puts it together and how we usually don't remember exactly what happened, how we do.
No, because our own brains are always like working and processing and it comes from our own biased point of view.
Absolutely.
And we don't remember stuff the way it actually happened.
Right. Like they began one of the episode about memory with the girl recounting where she was on September 11th. And she was like, I was in my classroom overlooking the water. My mom was in one of the towers working. And she was like kindergarten, first grade. And so then they brought her mom in, or either they had like the true recounting. And she was like, so we were in Connecticut. You could not see the smoke from there.
No.
I was not in New York at the time.
And especially for little kids like that.
Right. And so
because the memory there is like,
oh, it's so fragmented. Knows? And so they were just saying how over the years, she probably just thought from watching the news, I saw smoke and I saw this. So in my mind, I remember being at the dinner table and us all like looking at their TV and we were all like, so what happens now? Because I think, if I remember correctly, we were all wondering, would they re-enlist or would they start the draft back up?
Because
I remember that was the big conversation, because that's when we were like, wait, do you have to sign up for a selective service? How does that work? Is it going to be guys and women? Do I have to do it? Am I going to have to go to basic training because I was 17 at the time. So I remember there was so much confusion about what the future looked like at that moment.
That's true. We were also sort of, and this is what I say, like, I was like, well, I don't know, nothing else happened, because we were in college.
Right.
Like, when you're in college, especially, I was in college in the middle of a cornfield.
Nothing.
With no social media.
With no social media. We had Google. But at that point, Google was not the Google that it is now.
No.
So we only got like news from TV, and that's all there was. And so we were like, and there were no grown-ups. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we had our professors, but unless you were in like a government class or something like that, they weren't talking about it.
Mm-mm.
So it was very just like, I guess that's it. Are we still going to the bar this weekend?
Right.
That was like the big question. We're like, is it appropriate to drink now that we're at war?
Like, how do you?
Or no?
Yeah.
We don't want to like be gauche. Like, should we wait?
Right.
And we did. I remember specifically on September 11th, the year prior, We didn't because nobody wanted to. It was just like you were heartsick. Mm. But after the announcement of war, I think we were like, well, yeah, fuck them. We're going to get drunk. So I don't, we're going to get drunk for America. Like, it's such it was such a college thing. Like, yeah. So that was my skewed view.
So fascinating how life has changed since then. Yeah. And Scott, just for people that didn't listen to the show, like, where were you when all this was happening?
So I was 4 years old. So the stories that I've been told was that I was like at a doctor's office with my mom, and I guess my mom saw it on the TV as we were waiting in the doctor's office, and we just left and we picked up my brother from school, and I think we just went home and just put on the TV.
Mm.
That's like all I've been told.
Wow. What a crazy time.
I know. I know.
Mm.
You realize, and I don't know why I'm thinking about this, but this sort of links back to yesterday's podcast. Mm-hmm. About how the children in this generation are growing up with this pandemic and what they're going to think about how everything started and how it went. Like the way that we're sitting around talking about 9/11, like the way that Maya, who is seven, will remember what happened during the actual pandemic when she's like, I don't know, you know, 25, 26.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of blows my mind a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, I was just thinking the other day, I was looking through pictures, and it was the 2 weeks leading up to me, March 13th, that Friday, was when, like, everything changed. Because, like, that night of the 12th is when I remember going to bed. I think Abe was out of town, and I remember watching CNN, and they were like, Tom Hanks has it, and the NBA just canceled
their
season.
That's what we talked about on the air that Friday.
Right, and then I remember I was like, oh, shit, like, life is about to change.
You could feel it.
You could. And then I remember we had, let me think.
We had caddies that weekend.
Yeah, we did.
I remember going out to the bar on the beach.
But I didn't go.
Right.
Because I was like, that at that point, it was confusion still.
Right.
Because I remember picking Maya up from school on that 13th. Of March, and I walked into the school, kids everywhere slinging around their germs, and I just remember getting her and being like, what? Because we were about to do spring break.
Mm-hmm.
It was about to be spring break.
That's right.
I was like, so I don't know when she's gonna be back. Mm. Whatever, it's fine. I did feel odd though.
Right.
And then the next day, because that Caddy's gig I think was on Sunday.
It was Sunday, yeah.
So on that Saturday, more reports were coming in, and there was just so much confusion, and everybody's like, well, we're still doing the thing at Caddy's. I'm like, bitch, I'm not doing it. I got a kid. I got a mom. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sit this one out.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I remember I had a broadcast at a Furman dealership. That was one of my last ones, and that's when I think the promotion street team that we haven't seen since March.
Do they still work here?
I don't know.
I don't know.
They have brought like hand sanitizer, and that's when we were kind of like, don't get too close, but I'm not really sure. We don't know because we weren't wearing masks.
No.
And I remember a couple people like shook my hand, and I was like, ha ha ha. And then I just started like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean no disrespect, but where's the hand sanitizer?
Right.
Oh my God.
No, I had a couple things. I had a remote that Thursday, and everybody was joking about not being able to shake hands. And then I had a doctor appointment that Friday, and we shook hands, and both of us were like, should we do that? Is this going to be a thing?
Yeah.
Do we shake hands? I'm not going to not shake your hand. And then.
My, how things have changed. What were you doing that weekend, Scott?
Well, that weekend, I remember, I think I had a gig at a bar that Thursday. I had my, like, hula gig, like, my ladies' night gig, and I remember talking with...
Oh, you were doing remotes at Hula Bay.
Yeah, every week, and I remember that last one, like, we brought extra hand sanitizer, and I remember talking it over with, like, my other, like, coworkers, and there was, like, moments where I was kind of getting mad because like there's some people that weren't taking it seriously and they kind of thought it was a joke, and I was like, no, like, give me the hand sanitizer because like I just shook somebody's hand and I think this is gonna get pretty serious. Well, here we are.
But what's crazy to me is that we went into full-on crazy mode that weekend, right?
Yeah,
because then the next week I didn't know how to operate because I have never been a germaphobe, so I'm not great at like sanitizing in the first place. And then I remember being scared to go to Publix because I was like, what? And like, all I could think about was that the germs were everywhere. And I was like, What do I not touch? Mm-hmm. I'm like, is my phone infected? But right. What's funny is that at that time in March in the U.S., it wasn't that big of a deal here yet. The actual virus. Mm-hmm. If you look at numbers, mm-hmm. like yeah. the numbers were so low in right. Florida during that weekend, the odds of anybody even getting it at that point were very low.
Right.
And it didn't spike until June, once we had already sort of been implementing this for a while, which then in July it got crazier. But freaking America, we're so like impatient about stuff. We went into lockdown like in March, right? Mm-hmm. I remember I told my mom we couldn't do anything for her birthday, which is March 22nd. We were like not leaving the house.
Right.
It was like we felt like you stepped outside your door and you're going to get it.
You right. got it.
But then it didn't really hit spiking numbers until June and July. And by that time we had been locked down for so long, we were like, well, put the mask on and we do go out, whatever. But it's different. Like, life is different now, and it's not going to go back to the way that it was.
No.
For who knows how long.
I mean, we will forever be changed. I mean, they just announced, you know, here at our company that we, like, because only on-air people are in the building right now and engineers. Everyone else is working from home. Our sales staff and the people that schedule the commercials, marketing, all this other stuff, they're working from home. They're not going to be back until 2021.
Right.
That's
so like
wild.
Evander that used to come in here and film like headphone karaoke and all that stuff. We haven't seen him since March. Who knows when we'll see him again?
I don't know.
I mean, it's just so crazy how you have these events that changes a generation.
And that poor Scott has it.
Right.
Yeah.
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 He said yeah.
Yeah.
Have you had another test yet, Scott?
No, I'm going today and hopefully there's some improvement, but my dad's also getting one today. Like, he's so paranoid right now, which is understandable, but like he'll ask me like every morning, he's like, you know, did you feel this or did you feel that? And like, just like little things, you know, like I'm stuffy or I have stuff, like I feel like I got like congestion in the back of my throat. And I'm like, well, I would just recommend like anytime, just get a test. Just All right. go ahead. And if you feel any type of way, get a test. And so yeah. he's getting a test today. It's probably a rapid test. But I'm getting one at like 12:30 today. So hopefully I'll have an answer by like next Monday on how that one's looking.
And how are you feeling? Like, what's the current?
You know, we talked yesterday about my exhaustion, which is, and now I'm like paranoid about that. I feel fine. Like every bit of me, like right now, I feel fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then like yesterday, there's moments where I don't know what it is, but all of a sudden it's like 4:30 and I'm like, oh my gosh. I am just whooped. And I take a nap and it's a weird feeling when I wake up where I'm like, oh my God, like I can't get up. Like I'm so tired still.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what that is because I'm like, well, it could be the virus. It could be that I'm just tired because I used to take naps after the show anyway. But it's like a different kind of tired where like I literally am like, I don't know if I could get up.
That's
like,
what
it's going to take every bit of me, my strength.
That's what I know a few people who either have it or have had it. And mostly it's virtual friends. I mean, I'm not really seeing anybody in real life right now. But like there's one girl that had it very badly. But after she sort of got through most of the bad symptoms, she said the same thing where she would be like, I'm fine. And then I'm just hit with like this wave of fatigue where I'm like, I don't know if I can make it to the bathroom to pee.
Mm.
Like, I just have to lay here.
Jeez.
I just want to lay here. And so people talk about that sort of fatigue where you just want to just sit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's what's been happening. Like, every day. Like, I literally feel like right now I'm like pretty awake. I feel good. But I know probably later in the day, all of a sudden I'm like, yeah, I need to take a nap. Like, I need to do something, lay down. I just put down my head and I'm just out. And it's not like I was doing good with like 30-minute ones before this whole thing. But now it's like a solid hour and a half, 2 hours. And then I wake up and I'm still groggy as hell. I'm like, oh my Lord. So I don't know. So it's, again, like I've said it before, where it's just the scariest thing is like, I don't know how this is going to kind of affect me down the line. Because like yesterday I ran like almost 6 miles. Like I worked out, like I feel fine everywhere else except for that one thing where it's like I wake up and I just feel so groggy. And there's times where I just have to just pass out for a couple hours.
Have you been eating normally?
Yeah, I've been eating the normal, you know, diet that I usually have, which is pretty lean and clean and fighting machine. But there's nothing that's like out of the ordinary when I'm eating. I'm eating as much as I, you know, can right now.
Mm. Wow.
Like the appetite's there, my smell is there, my taste is there. Just the only thing is that dang exhaustion that just all of a sudden I just get real tired real fast.
It's just so fascinating to me. Like I don't know, just how life can just turn like that, you know, how we, like, I have all these events on my calendar that, you know, were supposed to have happened by now, and everything is done, and you're reevaluating everything, you know, like, I'm going to go look at cars tomorrow, and so, like, we had to make an appointment, and I'm like, can we, and I was emailing with the car dealership guy, and I was like, so, can we meet outside? Like, I don't want to spend too much time inside the dealership. Like, can we meet earlier in the day so it's not as hot since we'll be looking at cars and stuff? And it's like, that would have never crossed my brain, you know, like 6 months ago.
Oh, yeah.
But here we are. Well, hopefully everything will be fine. Let us know how the test results come out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I will. Because I got to get two before I even step close to coming back over there.
God. Poor thing. Well, we miss you.
Yeah, a lot.
Miss y'all.
A lot. Not that I don't love Miguel. I do. But it's just like there's this little positive spot in the corner that's not positively filled.
Well, because when Holly and I are just in here, you know, we can tend to pile on and be negative with each other. And we're like, you know what? F this person. No, F this person. Well, you want to know who I really want to F? That person.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that person.
Wait. And remember that person that said a negative thing about us 5 years ago? Fuck them, too.
And there's like nobody to break it up.
And then when Scott's normally here, Scott's like, so let's take a moment and
Scott's
let's
like,
just.
Hey, guys.
Here's let's something look positive. At
some really great news today.
Look at these donkeys. Hee-hawing.
I'm like, that is pretty great.
I'm like, okay, he brought the positivity here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this Friday show up. Scott, what's all of your social media information?
Everything is under my name of at Scott Tavlin, SCOTTTAVLIN.
Holly.
Radio Holly on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter, and Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
Mine is Miguel Fuller, MIGUELFULLER. You can find me. I'm the newest TikTok star. My videos have been starting to take off a little bit.
Oh, hey.
I'm super excited. But usually it's only when Abe, my boyfriend, is in it, and they're like, oh, my God, Abe's so funny. And I'm like,
he is funny.
Bitch, I'm the one dancing. What about what I did? I'm over here doing hooba jooba, and nobody's looking at me, and they laughing at his face.
But you need a straight man.
That's true. And he is that.
Yeah.
Miguel Fuller.
He's a gay straight man.
He's a gay straight man. On everything. Also, if you want some Miguel and Holly stickers, remember, I've got a crap ton. You can always shoot me an email, miguel@hot1015tampabay.com. Just make sure to leave your full name and your address. And make sure to leave us a review, please. And we'll read it on the air. We'll see you next week.
Catch up with the previous episodes of the Miguel and Holly Uncensored podcast from Hot 101.5.
Just hit up the Hot 101.5 app, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts.
Search Miguel and Holly Uncensored.